All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let us begin. Start by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Elul, Ed and Faith Wolf and family, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of beloved father, grandfather, great-grandfather, Cyrus Wolf, Shalom Ben Tzvi Hirsch. We also thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Alan Wiseman, in memory of his beloved wife, Rita Ruth Rivka Rachel Bas Zachariah, Bernie and Sonia Kozlovsky, in honor of the birth of their grandson, Aryeh Leib, Ben Yosef Mordechai, Tepanin and Yoi Shecht, and our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Gavi and Shayna Cohn, in commemoration of the Artzeit of Eleanor Cohn, Elka Bas Binyamin Tzvi. Zichrono Livracha, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And above with that, let us begin. Chevron Zoom, you hear me okay? Excellent, thank you. All right, so with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Lamed Tes 39, and we are picking up Emirat Hashem on Lamed Ches Lamed Beis 38b. A lot to do today. We left off on Lamed Ches Lamed Beis 38b with the phrase of Ella Me'ata. Just see if this is working here. Yeah. Ella Me'ata, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 21 lines up from the bottom. Or about more 23, but it sounds better if I say 21. So the Gemara says as follows: El Miata. So remember again, yesterday's daf we ended off with a really fascinating concept, which was that Rabba said, just a kind of derech agav, just in passing. So Rabba brought down, when is it exactly that the eruv takes effect? So the Gemara gave two possibilities: what we call sof hayom or tchilas hayom. Is it the end of the day, which is really Ben Ashmashas, right? The beginning of Ben Ashmashas, the end of Friday, or the beginning of Shabbos. So Rabbah wanted to suggest that halacha lamaisa, the Erev itself actually kicks into effect, really, at the beginning of Shabbos. As such, that's why Rabbah wanted to say that the act of bringing an Erev Friday afternoon is not really an act of hachana, that's not really an act of preparation, because at the end of the day, the Erev doesn't take effect on Yom Tov going into Shabbos, but rather it takes effect on Shabbos itself. Elamei ato, ye'arvu b'lagin. So I'll say, but one second, remember again, we had this case 2 days ago, where a person went ahead and drew wine from a barrel, right, wanted to separate out the wine that was drawn as Trumas Meiser, that should take effect in the evening. So if you remember again, the Gemara said that that case did not work, but why not? To which the Gemara says, go back to something we said before, but you know, because remember again, important detail by Eruv, which is Halacha L'Maisa, in order for an Eruv to work, the food being used for the Eruv must have been edible and ready to be consumed for a meal already by day. It's very interesting. So therefore, again, anytime you have a situation where you're making a truma or a meiser designation that is not going to go into effect until Shabbos, such food is automatically invalidated for use as an eruv, for it is not permitted for consumption over the course of the day. Says the Gemara, Ela hadisnan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yom Tov Asamach L'Shabbos, Beinim Melefana Beinim Melacharabo. Say, but that which we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer said that when Yom Tov falls out in close proximity to Shabbos, whether it's before Shabbos or after Shabbos, Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Eruvin. So a person could go out and make two Eruvin. I haba inan suda haruya mebe od yom balaka. So I'll say, the Gemara is assuming as follows. Rabbi Eliezer's model, remember again, this is Mishnah from yesterday. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Eliezer, are reckoned as two separate periods of Kiddusha. Because they're two separate periods of Kiddusha, therefore halacha v'maisa, you can make an Eruv in the east for one day, an Eruv in the west for a second day. Now, listen, here's the interesting part. Now, we're assuming over here that when you're making an Eruv in the east and Eruv in the west, the Eruv in the east extends another 2,000 amos past the current boundary. Eruv in the west is another 2,000 amos, which poses a fascinating issue, which is that technically speaking, on Friday, let's say for Friday, I made the Eruv to the east, which is Yom Tov, and for Shabbos, I want to make the Eruv to the west. Well, technically speaking, on Friday afternoon, the food that is being used for the Eruv to the west is not accessible to me, right? Because I will say, it's out of my tchum. And if it's out of my tchum, then technically speaking, I don't have a su'uda haru'uya miba'o yom. I don't have food that is edible while it is still day. To which the Gemara says, meaning you hear that? The idea is if on Friday my Erev is going to the east, and then again, on Erev Yontif, I set up another Erev to the west, that Erev is going to take effect on Shabbos. On Friday afternoon, the Gemara just told me, the food that is going to be used for my Erev on Shabbos must be edible. Well, in this case, the food that I'm going to use for my Erev for Shabbos, which is the Erev to the west, is not accessible to me on Friday afternoon. Because on Friday afternoon, my Erev is to the east, which means that the food that is being used for the Erev to the west is going to be out of my current tchum. So how does that work? To which the Gemara says, "Misavet demanach lebesof apayim amalekan, or besof apayim amalekan, lo demanach lebesof elaf amalekan, besof elaf amalekan." So let's say the Gemara answers, "No. That's because you're assuming that a person is creating a maximum tchum to the east and a maximum tchum to the west, which would then put the two eruvim out of range of each other." No, the case over here, both say, remember, we always speak about a tchum. We always imagine a tchum as going ahead and you go to the edge of the current boundary, you put your Erev there, so you maximize your space. The truth is, but sometimes I don't need a tchum like that. I don't need another 2,000 amos, let's say, beyond the current boundary. I just need another 1,000 amos. So the Einach Inami, the Gemara, would say that in the case in question over here is where you're setting up your Erev to the east, you're setting up your Erev to the west, but interestingly enough, the two Eruvim themselves are still technically speaking in range of one another. That therefore allows the food to satisfy the criteria of su'uda haru'uya miba'od yom. Ela hadam Rav Yehuda. Erev b'raglav yom risha, ma'ar b'raglav yom sheni. Beit Rav Yehuda said that if you made an Erev, remember again, when it says to make an Erev with your feet, that means to make an Erev with your physical presence, as opposed to dafka, like depositing food somewhere. So says the Gemara, that which we said, Erev b'raglav yom rishon, ma'ar b'raglav yom sheni, that if a person makes an Erev with their feet on the first day, they could also make an Erev with their feet on the second day, with their physical presence. So the Gemara says, Erev b'pas b'yom rishon, if you made an Erev with food for day one, ma'ar b'pas b'yom sheni, make an Erev with bread on the second day. I ha kamechen miyom tov l'shabbos. So we'll say, is this not an example of hachana? In other words, At the end of the day, when I go ahead and I bring bread back to Moses, let's play this out, right? I go ahead and I take bread to the place where I want the Erev on Thursday afternoon, Erev Yomtiv. Then I bring bread to the place where I want to make an Erev for Shabbos. Is not the act of bringing bread, or even the act just myself of going somewhere, is that not an act of hachana, of preparing from Yomtiv to Shabbos? To which the Erev Amr Le Misavet to Azul Va'Amr Midi. Do you see what I'm saying? It's only hachana if you go ahead and you show up and you have to make like a declaration. So then it's clear that your act is one of creating an Erev for Shabbos. The Gemara says, the Azal v'shasik, the Yosef, the keys over here is when you're making your Erev, whether it's with your bread or whether it's with your physical presence, all you really need to do is what? Show up. So you say, sometimes in life, it's just about showing up. So Erev is one of those examples. It's really just about, Gemara says, you don't have to make a whole declaration. You don't have to start with the Hinnini Muchan Amazuman. Just show up. So because you're just showing up, there is no real hachana that is taking place. So the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Amr Cheftze Hefker Konin Shavisa. It reflects the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So we'll say we're going to see this. We're going to see this over the next couple of days. This interesting case about Cheftze Hefker, ownerless objects acquiring a makom shavisa. That ownerless objects themselves go, if you look at Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Lekamon b'mishotzi uhu ka'amar, diyashen kone shvisaso, v'afa gav dehavike Cheftze Hefker. So we're going to see, interestingly enough, a fascinating case about what happens if someone is carried sleeping to a particular place. Can they establish a domicile in a sleeping state or not? So it's going to be a fascinating discussion that we're going to get into. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who's opinion of the Rabbi? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, we're going to see, holds that even Cheftze Hefker, right? Even ultimately, again, ownerless objects have the ability to be kona makum shvisa, which tells you what? Again, just far, without even getting into the details of that, but what that tells us for our purposes is that really all you need to do for Erev is just show up. You just need to show up. So because you're just showing up, there need not be any type of declaration. There's no real issue of hachana. To which the Gemara says, afilu tem rabbanon. The truth is not even Rabbi Yochanan ben Ori. Even the rabbanon would hold this way. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanon alei Rabbi Yochanan ben Ori el biyoshen. So it says you're going to see the rabbanon argue on Rabbi Yochanan ben Ori in a case of where you transport a person in a sleeping state and deposit them somewhere. So halacha lemaisa again, the rabbanon say no. That does not establish a makom shvisa. That doesn't establish a damasal when a person is totally unaware. Rabbi Yochanan ben Ori says even if a person is unaware, you can establish a damasal. The rabbanon only argue in the case of sleeping. The Gemara said, "Delo matzi amar," because when a person is sleeping, they don't have the ability to say something. Aval b'neir, but when a person is awake, di bay lemeimar matzi amar. When a person is awake, since they have the capacity to say something, they have the ability to say, "This is my makum shvisa." They have the ability to say that this is my eruv. Afa gav delo amar kiman d'amar d'amar. So we've seen this concept before. You know, when you do have the ability to do something, then even if you don't do it, sometimes your non-performance of the act does not in any way undermine the effectiveness of what it is that you're doing. So the Gemara is suggesting that although technically speaking, when we make an Eruv, so generally there is a declaration, that declaration isn't really necessary. And therefore, again, as long as a person can make the declaration, even if they don't make the declaration, the Eruv is going to be fine. What that declaration is, we're going to discuss. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says, therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, the act of establishing an Eruv on Yom Tov for Shabbos, about bringing the bread, right, on Erev Yom Tov for Shabbos, or for that matter, again, going ahead and just showing up somewhere on Erev Yom Tov for Shabbos, is not called Hachana, since it could just go ahead and be affected just simply with your physical presence. And you need not make any type of declaration. Therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, it's not Hachana. So this is actually very interesting. So Rabba is the one who made this statement. He said, Trilas Hayom Kona. He says, Erev really goes into effect not at the end of Friday, but rather again at the beginning of Shabbos. So comes along Rabba Bar Rav Chanan, he says to Abaye, if Rabba would have heard this following statement, listen to this. So now comes along Rabba Bar Rav Chanan, and he says, if Rabba would have heard his statement, I'm not sure that he would have still gone ahead and espoused his particular shita, that there's no achana involved in anything over here. Watch this. The Gemara says, "Lo yihalich adul masof sadeu." Person is actually fascinating. On Shabbos, a person shouldn't go ahead and walk to the edge of his field. Leida mahitzricha. It's supposed to be like this. I have a piece of real estate. So here's what I want to do. I'm not going to do anything on Shabbos, but I'm going to take a little walk on Shabbos to see my property. This way, right after Shabbos, I know what has to be done. So I'm not doing anything on Shabbos, but this way I'm prepared. Right after Shabbos, I can spring into action. So the Braisa says a person should not do that. Kiyotzebo, top of Lamites, similarly says the Gemara, lo yitayil adam al Pesach medina kedei shikhanes lemerchatz. Similarly, I will say you shouldn't go to the entranceway of the city so that right when Shabbos is over, you can go into the bathhouse. I guess the bathhouse was situated at the entranceway to the city. So the idea is, again, we don't go into the bathhouse on Shabbos. You shouldn't go on Shabbos to the edge of the city so that you're ready to go into the bathhouse right when Shabbos is over. So we'll say, so what do you see from this? So Hadrabe, so we'll say, what you see from here over here is as follows. What's the come down there in these examples? What am I doing in both of these cases? What am I doing? I'm walking. But I will say, it's clear that why am I walking? I'm walking because I want to be ready to do malacha right after Shabbos. I'm walking because I want to be able to fix my field, do whatever I have to do in my real estate right after Shabbos. I'm walking because I want to be ready right after Shabbos to go ahead and go into the bathhouse. So the Gemara says, you should not do this. The Gemara says, so you see over here, if you look at the top Rashi on Lamed Tes, the middle of that Rashi, af agav dehiluch greida of it. Even though all I'm doing is walking, v'lo amar midi, and I didn't say anything, I'm just walking. I didn't make a declaration of intent, nothing, I'm just walking. Nevertheless, it's usher. Because people say, why? Because because my intentions are to do something malacha related, therefore even the walking is problematic. The gabe eruv, ibidi bura hava usher, mishumachana, bishtikus, nami usher. So the Gemara says, Rabbah wanted to suggest that since at the end of the day, I'm just establishing my Eruv, just as my presence, I'm not saying anything, the act of walking somewhere or carrying a loaf of bread somewhere is not called Achana. To which the Gemara says, it's not true. It's not true. To which the Gemara says, well, so listen to this. Here's the difference. The Gemara says, Velohi, not true. Shamale, the truth is, Rabbah heard this. Veloha Debein, he still didn't retract. Why didn't he retract? Well, so listen to this. Hasam, Muchacha Milsa, Hacha Lav Muchacha Milsihi. So I will say, in that case over there, when you are walking to the bathhouse, you're walking by your real estate, people could see what you're doing. People could see what you're doing. It's clear from your actions that you're checking out the real estate to see, to check out your field to see what has to be done. It's clear when you're lingering around the bathhouse, you know, by the time you circle the bathhouse for the 17th time, waiting for that third star to come out, it becomes a little bit apparent about what you're doing. Hacha, Bosa, listen to this, Hacha lav mucha milsa. In the case of Ira, Bosa, when you walk, remember again, to your makom shvisa, to your domicile, which is, could be just like a random place in the middle of nowhere. So the maisa, again, it's not clear that you're doing that for Ira of why. Listen to this, Bosa, say, Itzur mirabanan hu, because if a person is a Talmud Chacham, and someone sees me walking around, they would say, Imar, shmaisa mishachte. They could say, ah, oh, that person just got so lost in his learning that he doesn't even realize where he's walking. And vi'i ama oretsu, and if I'm an ama orets, amri chamra irkas. They'll just simply say, ah, he's wandering because he's looking for his donkey. So Rabbi said, interestingly enough, Rabbi holds that the act of establishing a domicile on Yom Tov for Shabbos is not called hachana because the act itself doesn't have the appearance of any type of preparatory activity. Masha'in Kain, walking around your field, even though you're not doing anything on Shabbos, but to see what has to be done after Shabbos, that's problematic. Circling by the entrance of the city because you want to be ready to go into the bathhouse. As soon as Shabbos is over, that's problematic. I will say, listen to this incredible Musar. Hear what the Gemara is saying. When you go to your Makom Shvi'is, when you go just to, when you're just walking somewhere, and it looks like you're a little bit aimless, walking in the middle of nowhere, so the Gemara says, if you're a Talmud Chacham, people will think that you are engrossed in your learning. And if you're an Ama Aretz, people will think you're looking for your donkey. I will say, what an incredible Musar. If somebody were to see me walking around and I look a little bit aimless, what would they assume I'm doing? Right? How am I viewed in this world? If somebody would see me, would they say, oh, that's an Ama Aretz probably looking for his donkey? Or would they say, that's someone reviewing a sugya in his head and so engrossed in his learning? I will say, that's the shaila in life. Am I a Talmud Chacham or am I an Ama Aretz? Am I engrossed in my learning or am I looking for my donkeys? And if you notice again, there's no in between. There's no in between. In life, you have to, it's like either milchiks or fleishiks, right? There's not no real pariv in life. An incredible yisod. If somebody were to see me, what would they assume? Where would they assume? Based on how I live, how would they assume? Where am I holding? An Ama Aretz or a Talmud Chacham? So Gufa, I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Bragla Biyom Rishon. My Bragla Mishenis. So let's listen to this case. Rav Yehuda says, if a person makes an Eruv with his physical presence on the first day of Yom Tov, he can make an Eruv with his physical presence on the second day of Yom Tov. Erev the Pas Biyom Rishon, Ma'ariv the Pas Biyom Sheni. Or if you make an Eruv with bread, right? You go on the first day, you can make an Eruv with bread on the second day. Erev Bepas Berishon, if you made an Eruv with bread for the first day. So also remember again, we say the first day, this is Thursday afternoon, Erev Yom Tov. Ma'ariv Beraglov Besheni. Then we'll say you could choose not to use bread on the second day. If you want, you could go ahead and just simply affect an Eruv with your physical presence. But listen to this. The Gemara says, Erev Beraglov Berishon, Ein Ma'ariv Bepas Besheni. I will say it's actually very interesting. But if you chose to make an Erev on Thursday afternoon, Erev Yom Tov, using your physical presence, you cannot decide then to use bread for an Erev on Friday. On Friday, why? She'in ma'arvin b'tchila b'pas. Because it will say, Elocha l'maisa, if you start off the two-day period of Yom Tov and Shabbos using bread as an Erev, you could continue to use bread, or you could switch to physical presence. But if you start with physical presence, you cannot switch to bread on Friday. What's the reason? Whether it was, look at Rashi, right across in Rashi, Shema Avin B'Tchilu B'Pas, Miyam Tov L'Shabbos, Mishum HaChana, Dekar De Hashto Shem Eruv. Both is very interesting. So the Gemara says, why not? Because then that's a clear act of HaChana. Because you will say, remember again, when you bring that loaf of bread, you're going to be saying L'Shem Eruv, L'shem Eruv, them using this bread, L'shem Eruv, and therefore you're doing something more declarative that has the appearance, that clearly indicates that you are preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So Mar says, okay, let's analyze this. Irei bepas b'yom Rishon, b'hai pas b'yom Sheni, but I don't understand. Then why is it that even if I used bread on Thursday afternoon, why could I use bread again on Friday afternoon? And again, at the end of the day, aren't I also making a declaration on Friday afternoon that this loaf of bread is my Eruv bread? So if I'm doing so, is that not preparation as well? To which Shmuel responds, no. You're using the same loaf. So we'll say, if you use the same loaf, that means Thursday afternoon I say this loaf is an Eruv, right? And then again, Friday afternoon I use the same loaf. But once I've already declared it as an Eruv, Erev Yom Tov, I need not make another declaration on Erev Shabbos. And if that's the case, there's no issue of Achana. Amar Rav Ashi Deka Naimas Nis, and our Mishnah supports this idea or this interpretation as well. Diktani, Keitzer Uosa, but say, how does a person make an Erev? Molich Obarishon Amach Shechalov, he takes a loaf of bread on Thursday afternoon, Erev Yom Tov, and he waits with it until dark. Vinotlo ubalo b'sheni, and then he takes it back, and then he takes it home, and then he brings it back out on Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos, machshech alav, he waits till it gets dark, va'ochlo ubalo, and then he goes ahead, and he waits there, and he eats it. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, what do you see? This is actually very interesting. So the Gemara suggests over here that the way to avoid hachana, so first of all, apparently fascinating idea, if you made an Erev with your physical presence on Thursday afternoon, Erev Yom Tov, you cannot switch to pass. Then for Friday afternoon, because that has the appearance of Hachana. Because now you're going to have to go ahead and make a declaration about that loaf of bread. As soon as you get into declarations, we get into issues of Hachana. Of course, again, if you used bread the first day, you could use physical presence the second day. But if you're going to use bread the first day, the ideal is you use the same loaf of bread on the second day. This way, again, on second day, no declaration is necessary. And in the absence of declaration, there's no issue of hachana. But the Rabbanan will say, Dilma Hasam Eitza Tova Kamashlan. The Rabbanan, this who disagrees, say, maybe not. Maybe all the Mishnah is telling you is giving you a good Eitza about how to conserve your resources. So the Mishnah is telling me, therefore, what? Halacha Lamaisa, use the same loaf. Just use the same loaf both times, right? Therefore, again, you don't have to utilize a brand new loaf. But lamaisa, if you'd want to use a new loaf, halacha lamaisa, you could. Okay, so we'll say, so this ultimately, again, is the machlokes. We see, again, that the way we avoid hachana is either, again, no declaration is made, or, again, according to Rabbah, there's no hachana because the Erev itself only takes effect anyway, the beginning of Shabbos, not Bein HaShemash, it's not at the earlier part of the day. So it's really Shabbos Mechin Liatzma. But either way, no Hachana involved. But I will say, but again, the Shulchan Aruch does pass in this idea, that the idea is if you're going to use bread for both days, you do use the same loaf of bread. That is halacha l'maisa. Good. So I will say, so again, there's other interesting halacha in this particular case. Again, we paskin, just so you should know, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are two kiddushos. And this is very important because, again, what that does teach us is that halacha l'maisa, if you wanted to make an Erev in different directions for both, for one day Yom Tov, one day Shabbos, halacha l'maisa, you could do that. So we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, Shabbos and Yom Tov are two kiddushos. Rav Osai, watch this Mishnah. Look at this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah. Let's say, how incredible is this? How out of a 7.5 year cycle, we're now doing sugyas of Rosh Hashanah 2 days before Yom Tov. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Shayari Shemit Tisaber. So we'll say, watch this. Rabbi Huda says as follows. If you have the following situation, you are nervous. You are nervous that Rosh Hashanah is going to become a 2 day. Shemit Tisaber means it's going to end up being 2 days. So we'll say, remember again, technically speaking, Rosh Hashanah is really 1 day. It's a 1 day Yom Tov. We'll get into what the concerns are, how it evolved into a 2 day Yom Tov. If you are concerned that Rosh Hashanah is going to turn into 2 days, so what should you do? It's the Gemara said, Ma'ariv Adam Shtei Eruvin. You can make two Eruvs. And I could say, for first day Rosh Hashanah, my Erev will go to the east, second day to the west. Or on the first day to the west, the second day to the east. Or Eruve Berishon, B'sheni Kibne'iri. Or on the first day I want an Eruv, on the second day I don't want an Eruv. On the second day I just want to be like the residents of my city. So the Gemara says, or Eruve B'sheni, or I want an Eruv on the second day, Uberishon kibne iri. And on the first day, I want to be like the residents of my city. So we'll say, this is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So the Rabbi said, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shema tisaber, bagola kamairi, shema yasu beizden agadol elul mu'ubar, v'yushne yomim tovim, v'utzarech leilech berishon letzad echad, u'bishini letzad acher. So we'll say, so again, Rashi points out over here that this is outside of Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to see that it's inside of Eretz Yisrael as well. So ultimately, again, I'm concerned there's going to be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, but I don't want to be locked in, I need to go in different directions each day, so I want to make a different Eruv for each day. So fine, he says you could do that. The Gemara says, "Hodu lo chachamim." The chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say you cannot do this. Rabbi say, "What is the point of contention?" Rashi says, "For the hodu lo chachamim, the kasavri kedusha achas." Saying, "Wow!" So Rabbi say, "Here we go." The chachamim hold the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi say, "Are kedusha arichta?" It is one prolonged period of Kiddusha. We do not look at the 2 days as two separate entities, two separate days, but rather one prolonged period. Va'odam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said furthermore, Masna Adam ala kalkala biyamtiv, biyamtiv rishon, va'ochla b'sheni. So Rabbi Yehuda will say, also on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, a person could go ahead and make a condition regarding a basket of fruit. So we'll say the issue over here is I have a basket of fruit that's untithed. You're not allowed to take trumas and maizrus on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So now if I want to eat that basket sometime over Rosh Hashanah, I can make the following condition. Watch this. What is it? So we'll say, we're going to see, the masna ala kalkala we're going to see is I say, if today is chol, then I separate out the trumas and maizrus today. And then I can eat it, and then I'll eat it the next day. And on the second day I say, that if yesterday was Yom Tov, then that separation or that designation was meaningless. I hereby separate today, and I can eat it today. Either way, by second day Yom Tov, you're able to go ahead and eat the produce. Similarly, if a chicken laid an egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, although you can't eat it on the first day, you can eat it on the second day. You can't eat this because it will say, remember again, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasa, which who essentially holds the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are effectively Sveka Diyoma, right? One of them is Chol, one of them is Yom Tov. That's the area. So obviously I'll observe both of them as Yom Tov. I want to observe it as Yom Tov. But Lameisa, one of them is weekday, one of them is Yom Tov. And therefore, again, I could create two different day Reuven. And therefore, again, I could eat the egg that the chicken lays on the first day and the second day. And therefore, I could stipulate regarding separation of tithes on the first day and on the second day, and eat the produce by the second day. And all of these cases for the Hodul Chachamim. So we'll say at the end of the day, the Chachamim disagree in all of these cases, because fundamentally the Chachamim hold that Rosh Hashanah is not 1 day Chol, 1 day Yom Tov, but rather it's 2 days Yom Tov, and another letter we'll say it is Kiddusha Arichto. It is one prolonged period of holiness. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Omer HaOver Lefnei HaTev B'Yom Tov Shosh, this is incredible. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says that he who davens for the Amir on Rosh Hashanah, Omer, Hachlitzinu Hashem Elokinu Es Yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh Im Hayom Im Lamachar. Listen to this bracha. He says, Rosh Hashanah, give us strength on this day of Rosh Chodesh, whether it's today or whether it's tomorrow. Right? So we'll see, interestingly enough, according to Rabbi Dosa, this Sveka Diyoma issue or essence is actually becomes part of actual tefillah. That the tefillahs reflect this idea, Rosh Hashanah, give us strength. And interesting enough, he calls it Rosh Chodesh and not Rosh Hashanah. Give us strength on this day of Rosh Chodesh, whatever day it is, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow. Right? Ulamacharu Omer, and on the second day he says, Im Hayom Im Amash, if it was today or yesterday, for the Hod Lacham, the Chum disagreed, because it will say, obviously, the Chachamim hold that this is not the essence of Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, the fundamental machlokes in the nature of Rosh Hashanah. Is Rosh Hashanah ultimately, again, a two-day Yom Tov, recognizing that 1 day is Chol, 1 day is Yom Tov, but out of that we just keep both? Or is Halacha L'maaseh Rosh Hashanah Yom Arichta, one prolonged day of holiness? So let's see. Gemara says, Gemara, man lo hodulo chachamim. I'm sorry, man lo hodulo. So we'll say, Who are the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says, Amarav Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi. Disan Yomot Nechal Rabbi Eliezer Rosh Hashanah Shahay Yare Shema Tisaber. So let's listen to this. The Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Eliezer on a Rosh Hashanah where they were concerned that it might turn into 2 days. Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Eruvin. That a person can make 2 Eruvin. Va'omer, Eruvin v'rishon l'mizrach v'rishon l'mayrov. First day I wanted to go to the east, second day I wanted to go to the west, v'rishon l'mayrov v'rishon l'mizrach, or vice versa. Or Eruvin v'rishon l'mishen kibneiri. Or I'm going to say that on the first day I want an Eruv, but ultimately again on the second day I want to be like the resident of my city. Or Eruvin v'rishon l'mishen kibneiri. So what's the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Oser. So we'll say, so here you see that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Eliezer, the Chacham agree with Rabbi Eliezer, that halach lemaisa, you can make 2 different Eruvin. But ultimately, again, Rabbi Yossi says that it is Aser. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi is the opinion that holds that halach lemaisa, it is Kiddusha Arichta, it is one prolonged period of holiness, and therefore halach lemaisa, you can make an Eruv, but it has to be an Eruv in one direction. I'm not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, So therefore, the Gemara is trying to identify the Mishnah. We understand the position of Rabbi Yehuda, right? The position of Rabbi Yehuda is such that halacha lemaisa, that the position of Rabbi Yehuda is that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, one is Chol, one is Kodesh, and therefore, again, you could go ahead and make separate Eruvin, so on and so forth. We saw 3 different cases. The Rabbanon disagree. The Gemara, because it's one Kiddusha Arichta, that's one prolonged period of Kiddusha. Now Rabbi Yossi comes along. The Gemara says, who are the Rabbanon? The Gemara suggests it is Rabbi Yossi. Fine. So from Rabbi Yossi says to the others, Yatem Modim, do you not agree? Shimbo Kodesh. So we'll say this is now getting into technicalities, ultimately again of Kiddush HaKodesh. Remember again, very quickly, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, so remember again, you come to the last day of Elul, and what they weren't sure was as follows: are the Eidim coming today or not? Are the Eidim coming today or not? So we'll say, so very often what they would just have to do is observe the last day of Elul pretty much as Yom Tov, just in case. So the Gemara says as follows, what happens if the Eidim came after Mincha? So we don't have time to get into all of this now. We'll actually do this over Yom Tov a little bit. But there was, at different points in time, what they used to do is, they used to observe the last day of Elul as Chol, do everything Chol, and then ultimately, again, if the Eidim came after Mincha, then they would observe the rest of the day as Kodesh. The problem with that was it caused sacrificial confusion. So point over here is Rabbi Yossi saying to them, don't you agree that even if the Eidim came late in the day, that ultimately, again, we would observe that day as Kodesh and the next day as Kodesh as well? So the Gemara says, V'rabanan, so V'rabanan, V'rabanan would say, I'm in days, V'rabanan, ki'echi delo delzalz l'day. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi ultimately uses this to show that what? To show that halacha l'maisa, it's really Sveika Diyoma. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, it's really Kiddush Arichta. It's really one prolonged period of Kiddush. Now, as we'll say, when the Eidim come after Mincha, we know for sure which day was Chol, which day was Kodesh. Yet we still kept both, which indicates to us that Halacha Lamaisa, the 2 days are kept as one prolonged period of Kiddusha, and not as 2 separate days. Not as 2 separate days. For the Rabbanon will say over here on the days, the Rabbanon will say that halacha lemaisa, they did that in order that people not go ahead and disrespect that day the next year. But I will say, I apologize that we're going quickly through this because this is the Iker Sugya of Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on it actually because we're going to talk about this a little bit over Yom Tov as well in the Dapim of Yom Tov. I'll spend more time on it then. But halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara is just suggesting over here is, when they observed that last day of Elul as Rosh Hashanah, so did they observe it out of certainty or did they observe it out of doubt? That's the fundamental machlokes. If you hold it, they knew it wasn't Yom Tov. They knew it, but they still kept it. That makes the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah Kiddusha Arichta, one prolonged period of Kiddusha. Versus, again, Sveika Diyoma, and I'm both saying the Nafkamina, or is it just out of doubt in the Nafkamina, ultimately, as we've seen, do you treat it as one prolonged period? So, for example, 1 Eruv. The egg will be usher both days. You can't separate out Trumas and Maisers. Or do you treat it ultimately again as 2 separate days? Good. Vodun Rabbi Yehuda. So remember again in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda highlighted his Shita in 3 different ways. in three different ways, which was as follows. So the Gemara says, so remember the Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda said that you can make two different Erevin. You could go ahead and stipulate regarding tithing, and your beitza, that an egg that was laid on one day is mutter the next day. All showing the same idea, according to Rabbi Huda, that the 2 days are really two separate kiddushos. So the Gemara says, Sricha, why do I make three different cases to illustrate the same concept? I'll tell you why. The Ashmo Inan changes it here to Reisha. The Ashmo Inan Reisha, Ba'akar Yehuda Mishlom Bloka Avid Midi. So I'll say, ultimately, again, if you had just said Rabbi Huda Shita by Erev, I would have said Erev is mutter, because the truth is Erev works because all preparations were made beforehand. When it comes to the basket and going ahead and arranging tithes, I would say that maybe Rabbi Huda agrees with the Rabbanan that cannot be done. And for which I said Erev and the basket, because we both said there's no real concern that's going to stem from those cases. About Beitza, the eagle and exerbe, but I was in the case of beitza, where if we let you eat the beitza on the second day, we have to be concerned with shumperas and ocean because of fruit that would fall off the tree. I was about to say, once you can eat the egg, I might have thought that maybe you're going to say that you're allowed to go ahead and eat fruit which come from the tree as well. Or you could drink liquids that ultimately emanate from the fruit. I would have thought that Rabbi Huda gives it to Rabbanon, that Allah said that should be us, therefore it's Tzrichas. Therefore, I will say, Rabbi Huda illustrates his concept in three different ways. Namely, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Huda, are two different periods of Kiddusha. Therefore, you could set up two Erevin. Therefore, you could stipulate regarding removal of Trumas and Maestros from a basket of produce. And therefore, Allah said, an egg that is laid on day one is consumable on day two. Tanya, Ketad, Am Rabbi Huda, Masta, Adam Al Kakob. So we'll say, what's the case of where a person could stipulate regarding tithe removal, right, on the first day of Yom Tov in order to eat it on the second day of Yom Tov? Watch this. If a person has in front of him two baskets of untithed produce, Omer, he could say as follows, Im hayom chol ulamachar kodesh, if today is a weekday and tomorrow is kodesh, tehei zu truma alze. Ultimately, again, this day, right? Then this basket should be truma on this basket. Vim hayom. So again, in this same idea, just this case, I have two baskets instead of one. So this basket should be designated truma on this basket. Vim hayom kodesh lemachar chol. And if today is kodesh and tomorrow is chol, ein bedivrei in bedvarei klum. Ultimately, again, my words are meaningless. V'kori ale Hashem umani chalam ulamacher hu omer. Im hayom chol tezu truma alzu. If today is a weekday, then this one should be truma on this one. V'mayam kodesh, and if today is kodesh, ein bidvari klum. My words are meaningless. V'kori ale Hashem va'ochlam. So we'll say, so same case. So what you're just doing is each day make a stipulation. If today is chol, the designation should work. And I can eat it tomorrow, right? If tomorrow is chol, then yesterday's designation is meaningless. Today's designation should work, and you could eat it. Rabbi Yossi Oser, and Rabbi Yossi says that it is Oser. V'chin hayer Rabbi Yossi Oser b'shnei yamim tovim shal galia. So we'll say this is incredible. Rabbi Yossi said, and the same halacha applies with 2 days of Yom Tov in diaspora. So Rabbi Yossi, this gets down to something incredible. Everyone agrees. That in Yom Tov Shein, almost everybody agrees, that in Yom Tov Shein Shal Galuyos, when it comes to 2 days of regular Yom Tov, I'm talking about Sukkis, Pesach, Shavuos, that the 2 days that we observe outside of Eretz Yisrael are because of Sveika de Yoma. So I know that when you doubt, like calendrical ambiguity, so I know that 1 day is Chol, 1 day is Yom Tov. I know that. I'm going to observe both as Yom Tov, but I understand in its essence, there aren't 2 days of Sukkis, right? There are not 2 days of Sukkis. There's 1 day. I observe two out of doubt. I will say, the Rosh Hashanah is a different kind of animal. And the reason for that, just so you understand, with this I'll probably have to stop, but just to understand why that happens is, because I will say, Rosh Hashanah was observed as 2 days, even in times where they knew with certainty which day was Rosh Hashanah. Just to illustrate this for you very quickly. So remember again, you're in Yerushalayim, you're waiting for the witnesses to show up. So Rashi points out, they used to offer up the weekday offering. The witnesses would come. Now, depending on when they would come, would shape a lot of different things. But sometimes they would come after Mincha, it would complicate things sacrificially. But the point over here is the witnesses would come, the witnesses would say, we saw the moon last night, whatever they saw, they knew with certainty which day was Rosh Hashanah, but they were still observing 2 days, because Rosh Hashanah poses this calendrical problem, challenge. What's the challenge? Every other Yom Tov is in the middle of the month. Because it's the middle of the month, you've got plenty of time to get your timing worked out before you declare Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the month. So as such, again, the witnesses don't always show up in time to know exactly when the actual Rosh Hashanah is. See, that's why you have to... So therefore, Rosh Hashanah from the beginning was observed as 2 days. So because, but I will say, but they knew which day was Rosh Hashanah. So that's driving the fundamental machlokis over here. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's still doubt. It's two different days. It generates from doubt. The Rabbanan say, no, it might start out as doubt, but there's absolute clarity as we go on. Therefore, it's Kiddusha Arichta. It's one prolonged period of Kiddusha. You see all the nafkaminas. Now the Gemara is saying, by the way, so now you come to the 2 days of Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi says, just like Halach Lamaisa, we treat the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as two separate Yomim Tovim, so too we will go out, or two separate days, so too we'll go ahead and treat Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios as two separate days as well. I'm sorry. As Kiddusha Arichta. I'm sorry, I keep saying that wrong. He answers it because it is Kiddusha Arichta. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, all right, well, so, you know, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem with this. So Gitmar, I apologize for the speed at which we ran through this. Hoping for a short daf. One of these days, not happening anytime soon. So Meretz Hashem, we'll catch up at some point in time. Shkach, we'll say. Whatever, 625. I think 624. 6:24. 6:24. Good. We can start, yeah. Thank you.